Thank you. Well, good morning. How's everyone doing today? Good? Is everyone ready for this cold front that's coming tomorrow? You all bundled up? You good? I am not ready. I like to tell people I am not built for the cold. I am built like a stick. So I break easily. I'm just kidding. I don't. Well, it is so good to be in the house of the Lord with you guys this morning. My name is Matt Clark. And as we said, I am the Youth Alive missionary for the state of Ohio along with my family. I'm going to talk about it in just a moment, but I want to introduce my family. I have one daughter with me, but my wife and my other kids could not join me. So this is a picture of my family. My wife is at our home church down in Columbus. She's on staff there. She couldn't make it today. Down on the bottom is my daughter, Addison. She is 7. She turns 8 next week. She's very excited for that. Already has her birthday party planned out, what she's going to get, all of those things. She's the sweetest, kindest little girl. And then my daughter, Riley, is with me here this morning. She's in kids' church. She is 3, and she is just... I call her my Sour Patch Kid because she will give you a hug, love on you, and then kick you in the shins. You never know what you're going to get. You got to be careful with her. I told Pastor Edgar, I was like, just watch her. Just keep an eye on her. But she is the kindest, sweetest little girl. So she came. We took a little daddy-daughter trip this weekend. She is the definition of a mommy's girl. She wants nothing to do with daddy most times, so we're hoping this helps our relationship with this. No, I love Riley. And then my son Peyton there, he just turned 2 in December. He is a little man. He looks just like me. He acts like me, which is terrifying. But he's also got my wife's stubbornness, which is not a good combination for him. So we travel around as our family, and we do Youth Alive, which Youth Alive, if at the bottom level, is students sharing Jesus. So we are missionaries to the state of Ohio. So we travel around. We help students share Jesus with their campus, with their community, with their church. And we empower them to do that through a lot of different ways. But we love this. So 3 years ago when we stepped into this role, we were youth pastors right over in Youngstown. We loved what we were doing. My wife was a high school math teacher at Fitch High School right there, right down the road. And we loved what we were doing. But we got a call, and God called us to become missionaries. Now, we didn't know exactly what this was going to look like or how we were going to do this. My second daughter, Riley, was, I think, 3 months old when we made this decision. We're like, God, is this really what you're calling us to do? But God made it so clear that this was the next step for our family and for our ministry. And over the past 3 years, we've seen God move in just some incredible ways over our family, over our ministry, in what we do. We love what we do, and we get to do that. So we help empower students to reach their campus. You might think, what does that look like, or how do we do that? Well, we help them start Bible clubs. We help them start prayer groups, service projects. On not just public school campuses, but also private school. We also work with homeschool students. We also work with students who go online school or to trade schools, because right now there's so many different options for students to go to and to attend and different things like that, but we help them do that. And at the end of this message this morning, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Youth Alive and how you can pray with us and partner with us and really support what we do all across the state. But this morning, I want to share a message that I believe that God has laid on my heart for the state of Ohio, for our adults to really understand what it means to minister to the next generation. I'm going to preach a message called Life and Death. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 16. I know this may seem like a really encouraging title when you hear this. You're like, whoa, this is a little bit heavier for a guest speaker. That's okay, I promise. We're going to get to the point. But we're going to talk about life and death this morning and how we can bring life to those around us so they don't end up living a life leading to death. So we're going to read in chapter 16, beginning in verse 1. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for every single person who is in this room today. I thank you, Lord, that you have something for all of us. I pray today, Lord, that you would have your way, that it won't be about me or the mission that I have, God, but this is your mission, and this is what you have. So I pray that you would open our hearts and help us to hear from you. Press on your name. Amen. So one of my greatest passions is working with young people. I was called to youth ministry when I was 13 years old at summer camp in Indiana where I grew up, and it's something that I've been passionate about ever since then. We've been working with them, and God's instilled this on our hearts. It's great to see young people be who God has made them to be. And one of the unique things about working with teenagers is that you get to see kind of the changes in culture as they grow up and the different generations that are coming and all these things. So we've been working with teenagers directly for the past 10 and a half years. And it's been a long time. And when I first started, I was 21 when I got hired in Louisville, Ohio to be a youth pastor. And I felt really good, right? I was like, I'm young, I'm hip, I got this. Now I'm 31 and I don't feel that way anymore, right? One of the cool things is that I keep getting older, but the people I work with keep getting younger and they keep coming and they move out and I feel older and I feel it in my back and my knees and I think I'm not built for this anymore, right? I throw a dodgeball and I'm out for a week or I can't do it anymore. But one of the unique things, not only do you get to see that, but you get to see the changes in the culture and what happens in our environment and these different things. You get to see the changes in these generations. Why I want to share about life and death this morning is because I believe wholeheartedly that God wants an abundant life for you. I believe that every single person in here, that God came and he says, I have an abundant life for you. God doesn't want you to just live this boring life. He doesn't want you to scrape by week. He wants to have an abundant life for you. But I also believe that he doesn't want just an abundant life for you, but for those around you and for the generations to come after you. But sometimes, church, if we're not careful and if we're not intentional, we can be having abundant life for ourselves, but we can allowing the people around us in the next generation to living a life, not of life, but to death. Because we're not sharing with them. We're not reaching out to them. We're not pouring out to them. We can allowing death to come to those around us. See, if we're not intentionally sharing the life that we have inside of us and encouraging these next generations, then we are risking the fact that they are living a life leading to death rather than a life in Jesus. The verse that we just read in Acts is going to be our launching point to look at how we can biblically bring life to those around us by looking at the life of Paul and Timothy and how God used them to impact the culture around them and to bring glory to God to those around them. But before I get into that, I have a quick question just to help me out a little bit here because I know I said I'm getting older. So how many of you guys, I like to go on Facebook sometimes and Instagram when I'm, you know, my kids go to bed and I actually get to sit down for once during the day. I used to go on TikTok, but that shut down. That's a young person joke. It shut down last night. If you didn't know, people are losing their minds, right? I did not do that. I don't even have TikTok, so I'm not worried about that, right? But I go on those and sometimes I will see a picture, mostly on Facebook, and it'll say something. It'll say something about, like, it'll say age test, and it'll show a picture of, like, a rotary phone. And they're like, if you don't know what this is, you're too young. I'm like, well, I do know what that is, so ha, right? But there's this one that I saw, and it really kind of grinds my gears. It makes me a little bit mad. So I think we have a picture of it. So this one says millennial anti-theft device, and it is a manual vehicle. Ha, ha, ha. I am a millennial, by the way, right? So I saw this picture, and I'm like, and I can't drive a manual car, so it is kind of accurate. But anyway, but it made me think, when I see these things all the time, and most of them are just for. So I have a question. If you are in this room, I need some audience participation. If you're in this room and you can successfully drive a manual car more than 30 feet, could you stand up for me, please? If you say, yeah, I could do that. I can drive it down the road. I can probably drive it. Okay, great. Thank you, Senior Saints. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that. All right, have a seat. All right, now I have another question. Right, since you guys like to make fun of me, I'm just kidding, we're not making fun of anyone. If I came to your house and I dropped off a box, and in that box was a router and a wireless modem, and I asked you to set up your own internet, if you think you could do that successfully, could you please stand up for me without calling anyone? Like, yes, I could figure that out. Okay, so the tables have turned a little bit. Some of our saints are standing. All right, you can sit down. Tables turned a little bit. Right, and I'm not asking these questions to make anyone feel bad about themselves or anything, because here's the truth. Knowing how to do something that you've been taught to do or not knowing something that you didn't grow up with does not make up your value as a person. Right, just because you grew up around manual cars, I don't even think they sell manual vehicles anymore. The only ones they sell them in are in like super high-end sports cars that there's not a chance I could afford even if I wanted it, right? All right, so not they do, some of them, they're the cheap ones, that's right. The ones with the roll-down windows, the manual view, is that what they are? like the used car lot maybe. Maybe, I don't know. Right, but not knowing how to do something that you haven't been taught does not make up your value as a person. Right, these things that we like to submit to ourselves and all these things we put in ourselves and we say like that. But this isn't to make anyone feel bad about themselves. But this doesn't make up our values. But what this does show is how unique and different generations can be. Because here's the truth. What you grow up with is probably significantly different than what kids today are growing up with. Right? The way that kids are living, the lives that they are leading is different than even what I grew up with. I saw a news story last month that a mom was arrested because she let her kid walk to the store 10 minutes away by himself. And I was like, when I grew up, I went 20, 30 minutes away by myself and I had no problem. Right, but it just shows the difference of our generations, of what you grew up with was probably not the same as what other people have grown up with today and how kids are growing up. But what does stay the same and what is consistent is that no matter what generation you are from, we all have a desperate need for a relationship with Jesus. And what I believe is that through Jesus, we can be united even in our differences as the body of Christ. To bring life, not just to ourselves, not just to what God wants us for us, but life to the next generation in Christ. But how do we do that? Because sometimes it's not always easy, right? And if we're not intentional, it's probably not happening. If we're not actively seeking out what God is asking us to do, if we're just living our life focused on ourselves, then it's probably not going to happen. But how do we do that? In Acts 16, which we just read, it tells us that Paul went and ministered, and he heard about this young man whose father was a Greek and whose mother was Jewish, but was well spoken of by the believers in that area. So as Paul was traveling through in his ministry, he decides he wants to take along Paul, or Timothy, on his missionary journey. Now, we don't know exactly the age difference between Paul and Timothy, but many scholars believe that it could have been anywhere from 15 to 30 years of an age difference between what Paul and Timothy and what they were living with. But that's not the only difference they had, because not only was Paul older than Timothy, but Timothy also wasn't fully part of the Jewish community because it tells us that his father was a Greek. But what I love about the beginning of the story between the two is that Paul went out of his way and he chooses to bring Timothy along with him. Despite the differences, despite the fact that he didn't know them, he made the conscious effort to seek Timothy out and bring him along on his missionary journey. See, it doesn't tell us that Timothy followed Paul around for a week and said, Timothy, Paul, can I come with you? Paul, can I come with you? And then like wore him down. No, it says that Paul heard the stories and the testimonies of what Timothy was doing and seeing that God was moving his life, and he went and he sought him out on the journey. Verse 3, it says Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. As we're talking about life and death this morning, I believe that if we want to see life in the Christ in the next generation, we need to be intentional about bringing them with us. Not just the next generation, but everyone around us who needs Jesus. The people in your lives, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's your coworker, the people in our lives, if we want to see them come to know Jesus, we need to bring them along the journey with us. Not just the next generation, but those around us who need Jesus. They may look different, they may dress different, they may speak different, they may like different things, but it is our duty as men and women of God to not let them live their life in a way that leads to death, but show them the life of Jesus. Right, this is easier said than done. I can say this. It's like, yeah, that sounds really great, but in the reality, it's hard to do life with people. See, bringing someone along with you takes extra time. It takes extra effort. It takes inviting someone maybe to lunch with you after church on Sunday morning when you just want to go home and watch the game and fall asleep in your lazy boy. All right, it takes that extra step, that extra effort to say, no, I want to show you what God has done in my life. I want to bring you along. It's hard. It takes having conversations when we're tired and when we're worn out and doing these things in our life. All right, but if we want to see a change in people around us, we can't keep what God has done in our lives to ourselves. We have to bring someone along with us and show them what God is doing. There's this girl in Youth Alive. Her name is Alice. Alice is a seventh grade girl. She's in a middle school. She reached out to me last year and wanted to start a prayer group at her school. Great, I helped her do that. It went really well, and she still got that going on. But I was at church 2 months ago. Alice goes to my church that we attend in Columbus. And there was a girl who got up to be baptized. And I had never seen this girl before. I was like, what is, I don't know. It was a prayer service. I was just sitting in the back. I was just attending. And this girl got up, She said, she got on the microphone, you know, Pastor Chris asked her, why do you want to be baptized today? She said, well, I've accepted Jesus. She said, before this, I was practicing Islam. Now, this girl lives in Columbus. She said, but because of Alice, I'm now following Jesus. And my ears perked up. I was like, whoa, like, this is very interesting. So I went and asked Alice about this. She said, yeah, this girl is in band with me. She said, last year, I felt God specifically tell me just to be her friend. So Alice became friends with an outcast who followed Islam, showed the love of Jesus, and now this girl, not only that morning, but this girl's mom also came to church and was baptized that day as well because of a seventh grade girl. Right, church, this is what it's all about. It's about bringing people with us. And I know I'm talking about the next generation, and we need to do that. Right, parents, grandparents, bring your kids with you. Show them the love of Jesus. Bring them alongside what God is doing now. Share the trials, share the good, share the bad. Pray with them, teach them. But this is also for the people in our lives who need Jesus. Right? Invite your neighbor over for dinner. Right? Your coworker who's struggling, pray with them. Walk them through this because this is what God is asking us to do. Because we have life inside of us. And we have a responsibility to share that life. And so Alice is in a great example of what Youth Alive is all about, of just sharing Jesus with your friends and seeing God move in their lives. But here's the deal. We can no longer ignore Gen Z and the generations to come because they are too different than us and hope that someone else will do it. Right? We can't just avoid people because they don't look like us, because they don't act like us, because they don't listen when we talk to them all the time, or because they do things that we don't understand. It is our time as the church to rise up and stand, not just in faith for the next generation, but also in action. It's our time, church, to stand up and say, no, we're going to do something about us. But if we allow our differences in any area to keep us from finding someone and bringing them with us in our walk with God, then we're missing out on what God has called us to do. God has called us to find people. He's placed people in your life that you should probably bring along with you. Maybe you don't realize it yet. Maybe you don't understand it fully yet. But I believe that when we pray that God will show us what we need to do and how we need to do it. But this is the beginning. If we want to see a change, we need to start bringing people along with us. Not only did he choose to bring Timothy, despite their difference, but we can go forward and read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 what else Paul does to bring life into Timothy. It says in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, it says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have begun convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work in Christ. See, Paul and Timothy, during this time in 2 Timothy, the letter that, when it was written, were dealing with leaders in Ephesus who were teaching false doctrine. And the whole letter of this to Timothy was just Paul encouraging him to remain faithful. He ends this letter with these few verses that we just read, where he encourages Timothy to continue in the knowledge that he has of the Holy Scriptures. So not only did Paul choose to bring Timothy along with him, but he also encouraged Timothy in God's word. See, in today's culture, there is no shortage of false doctrine or teachings that go against the word of God. The dark seems so great, and biblical understanding can seem to be at an all-time low. So it's important for the men and women of God to begin encouraging those who have heard the word of God to continue in it. Right? We are living in a dark place. We're living in a world of vast information. I don't know if you know this, but if you have a internet device, if you have your phone, you can go and you can search anything that you want on there and you will get an answer, right? That answer may not be right, but you will get an answer, right? If you want to find, like, hey, I want to marry a cat, I guarantee you can go on the internet and find someone else who wants to marry a cat. I guarantee it, right? As crazy it is, you can find, if please don't marry a cat, that is awful, right? But you can find anything that you want. We are living in a day, in an age where information is high, but biblical understanding and truth can be so low. See, this world, our next generation, are desperate for truth, and the Bible is the truth that they need. But if we are not doing our part, then I guarantee you the world will do its part. If we are not teaching the next generations, if we are not showing the people around us the truth of the Bible, then this world will do its part and will teach them things that aren't true and sway them into the culture to going along with what everyone else is doing. Right? Not only do we need to bring people, but we also need to, those of us in here who have read the Word of God, who know the power in the Word of God, who know the truth in the Word of God, to pass that along and remind other people about that truth. See, the Bible is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a collection of cool stories. It is the holy word of God. And as Paul tells Timothy, is good God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. The Bible matters. And we need to reach the next generation. And the only way we're going to do that isn't just by our cool stories, but through the holy power of the word of God. I want to tell another story of another Youth Alive missionary I had named Grace. Grace was a senior last year in a public high school, and she felt before the school year, they did a series in their church of talking about bold in their faith. So she had an opportunity. One of the first weeks of school, they had an exercise in her government class. Her government class was asking people to stand up and pick a side on, you know, whether they agreed that the government should be involved in these hot topic areas, right? So probably about abortion, other things like that. And the question came up, and it was about the same-sex marriage. So the government teacher asked, and you had to pick a side, whether for or against, and just an exercise to see what people went. So Grace stood up, and she remembered her boldness, her faith. She knew what the Bible said, so she went to the against side. She said, "No, I don't believe this." Well, not only did they have to do this, but they had to give a little bit of an explanation of why they chose this. So Grace stood up for her side of the class. She said, "Well, I believe that God made man and women, that he designed marriage to be like this, and this is how it is." And she said it in a really eloquent way. But because she did this, someone on the other side wasn't too happy with Grace, because she had a brother who was in a same-sex relationship, and she felt that Grace was wrong and was hateful and all these different things. So Grace, as politely as she did this and as boldly as she did it, began to be bullied by this other girl. Right, so it was weeks of this, of online bullying, of posting pictures around the school. She photoshopped Grace on a picture of Jesus on the cross, right, just completely attacking her. At the same time, Grace was also running for student council, for president of her school. And so this girl not only was just attacking Grace personally, but she was also running a campaign just to make sure that Grace didn't get elected. A smear campaign. So this was weeks and weeks and weeks, and Grace's parents tried to get involved with the school, but they couldn't do anything, and all these different things. So Grace was very confused. Like, "God, I prayed for boldness, I prayed for faith, and I stood up, I did what you asked me to do, but I don't understand why this is happening to me." Well, a few weeks after this happened, Grace's government teacher called her to her desk. She had seen Grace's faith and seen her boldness and stand up and how she had handled herself through this whole process. She just asked Grace a few questions, like, "Grace, like, why, what do you believe? How do you do this?" And she asked Grace what church she went to. Because of Grace's faith, her government teacher began attending Grace's church. Her government teacher rededicated her life, and last Easter, Grace was able to help baptize her government teacher on a Sunday morning during church because of the faith of a high school senior. Not only that, but Grace didn't lose the campaign, but she actually became class president despite the smear campaign that was running against her. Right? Grace is a young person who had been taught the Word of God, who knew what the Word of God said, who was confident and had the faith and the boldness. Church, we need young people. We need a generation who knows what the Bible says. We need a generation who knows who God is and who God has made them to be. I believe that's a huge problem in our culture that we're dealing with, that too many young people don't know who they've been created in God. And I'm telling you, church, we need to do a better job. We need to do a good job of teaching the next generation who God is and what his word says about them. Because when we do that, exactly what Paul was doing with it, he said, remain in God. Remember what God's word said. Remember, because when questions arise, when things happen, when things are difficult, you can always go back to what does God say about this. See, you want to bring people from death into life? Show them the power of the Word of God. You want someone to have life and have it abundantly? Encourage them as Paul encouraged Timothy to continue in what he's grown to know. The next generation doesn't need more motivational quotes or pats on the back. They need the truth, and the truth is the Bible. Right? They don't need more of those things. They need the truth. So not only did Paul choose Timothy and brought him with him, not only did he encourage him in God's Word, but The last thing that Paul encouraged Timothy to do, and what we can grow from this morning, is that he encouraged Timothy, after doing all these things, to choose others. So we read in the letter of 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes in verse 1, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So in this book, Paul is writing to Timothy, and he is telling him to teach the things that he had learned from Paul to other peoples. See, the great thing about bringing people from death to life is now they have life to share with others around them. See, it is our responsibility to find people and choose them and encourage them in God's word. And it's also our responsibility to send them out to find others who can do the same with those as well. And in a world that is so focused on every man for themselves, a world that is so focused on what can I get out of this, how can I do this for myself, this is a stark difference, because God's plan for this world was sending his son Jesus to this earth to save us from our sins and then to send us out to this world. His solution to saving this world was you and I living out the hope that he has placed inside of us. Right, church, it's not enough to live a good life and make it to heaven on your own. I want you to bring someone else with you. Right? It's not enough just to live your life and sit here every Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and say, yeah, I'm pouring in, I'm getting poured into, I'm doing great. No, bring someone else. Right? You may not be the pastor. Bring someone else. Right? God calls each and every one of us to live out the faith that he has placed in our life so that they can bring someone else with them and they can bring someone else with them and so on and so on and so on. Right, church, this is important. And I don't preach this message to you this morning because I feel like we're doing a bad job, but I think we can do a better job. Right, I think we do a better job of reaching not only the next generation, but the people in our lives. And this is what I preach to young people all the time. I talk to teenagers, to middle schoolers and high schoolers, and they're like, Pastor Matt, I can't do that. That's not for me. Right, I show them story of time and time again where God in the Bible didn't use the most eloquent people. He didn't use the best, sharp people, the smartest, the brightest. He used the people who were willing to be used by God. So if you are here this morning, I believe that you have life in you. I'm praying that God is moving in your life, and that's amazing. But I believe that not only God wants you to have that life for yourself, he wants you to have that life to share it with someone else. Because there's a lot of people in this community, there's a lot of people in this area who are living a life leading to death. Right? So we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't keep what is happening in our lives to ourselves to do what we want to do. We need to bring someone with us so that they can bring someone, and so on and so on and so on. I want to end by sharing two quick stories of why I just really think puts it in perspective of why this matters. It was about 2 years ago. I was at a state park with my daughter. We were preaching at a church in southern Indiana, and they put us at this hotel, and it was in the state park. It was really cool. So we went hiking. We weren't prepared for hiking, but we went hiking, right? How many of you guys know, you ever like, oh, I'm on a hike right now. I was not prepared for this, right? Like mentally, physically, whatever. So we were on a hike, and we come to this this huge tunnel, and my daughter, who was 5 at the time, was like, Daddy, can we go through the tunnel? Daddy, I was like, babe, we are not prepared to walk through a tunnel right now. Like, not ready. And we had my other daughter who was probably 6 months old at the time, so we can't do this. So I told her we would come back. So we went, got lunch, took my wife and my other daughter to the hotel that went down for a nap, and I was like, all right, Addison, let's do this. I got on some shoes that weren't as nice. I put on whatever clothes I had, and we walked back to this tunnel. So just for reference, this was an old abandoned train tunnel that didn't ever get completed. So they got it all the way through, but they didn't finish up. So the height of this tunnel was probably about 5 foot tall. If you can tell by looking at me, I am way taller than 5 foot tall. Right, so this was dark, so we were not prepared. So I had my phone flashlight. It was, if you've ever been in a tunnel, they're not well lit, right? This was not, so I had my phone flashlight, and it's wet, it's dark. And so we get in here, and I'm holding Addison's hand, and we get in the tunnel, and she just is ready to go. She's like, she doesn't care. She's running, right? So there's rocks and there's water. And if you've ever been in kind of like that environment, you know you kind of have to be careful you step. So she's walking and she's falling. She's slipping. And I calm her down. It's like, all right, let's calm down. So I hold her hand. And so we walk through this tunnel. And I'm telling her, all right, step here, go here. And I'm telling her which rocks to step on. I'm kind of leading the way. I'm leading the path. And we get to the end and she is covered in mud. her shoes are destroyed, right? Nice shoes. I was like, oh, my wife is going to kill me, right? But it's okay. But she came out, and she was smiling ear to ear, right? And she was like, Daddy, can we do that again? I was like, baby, my back can't do that again. I can't hunch down for that long. So it was about a mile-long tunnel. And so we walked all through this thing, and it was dark, and it was wet, and there was puddles everywhere. But at the end of it, she was covered in mud. She was disgusting. She had scrapes. She had bruises. But she wanted to do it again, right? It was so much fun, and I'd love to go back again. But as I was praying one day, God kind of puts this in my spirit, that I think this is a good definition of the church in the next generation. See, because my daughter was ready to run into the darkness. She had no fear in her. She had no worries. But it took me leading her to get her to the end. All right, because here's the deal. If I had let her go by herself, could she have made it on her own? Yes, I believe wholeheartedly. But you know what had happened? She would have come out the other end. She would have been battered, bruised. She would have been hurt. She would have been pained. She would have been frustrated. And she never would have wanted to do it again. And I believe this is a generation, a definition of what's happening with the next generation, is that we've let a generation go through this darkness alone, that we haven't shown them the way that we needed to, that we've let them walk on their own, we've let them slip, we've let them fall, and we haven't been there to point out the way. And I'm partly responsible for this as well. As we have a generation of millennials, which is my generation, who's coming up now into adulthood. Well, I'm well into adulthood, but that's not the point, right? Who's coming up into adulthood and saying, no, I don't want anything to do with the church. And it breaks my heart. And here's the deal, church. I don't want that to happen again. I believe that there's people in this room who can take the hand of the next generation and say, no, this is who God is. This is the plan that he has for my life. This is what he wants for you. And we can lead, guide, and direct so that they can come on the other side of this darkness of this tough world and saying, yes, I love Jesus, and I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. There was a study that happened a few years ago. Let me see if I can find it here. And it surveyed millennials, my generation, and it put them into three different groups. And it said that all of these people had grown up in church. They surveyed this group of people who had grown up in church, and it said that there were three different groups, that people who are passionate followers of Jesus Christ. They attended church once a week. They were there, or two or three times a month. They were there consistently. They served. These millennials, out of this, it was only 15%. And then they had another group. They called them the nomads. These people who attended church once a month, special occasions, and they consider themselves Christian, but they didn't really follow. This was, I believe, 45% of the group. And the last was considered exiles, which was millennials who had grown up in church who said, I no longer want anything to do with Jesus. And this was the rest 50% of these people. So I'm not saying this because I just think this or I believe this. I'm telling this, church, because we need some people to stand up and fight, not just in faith, but in action. Can I have the worship team come back up for me as I close here in just a moment? I love the church. And I love that God has brought us together and he uses us in this way. And I love what I do. I wouldn't want to do anything else than work with young people and encourage them. And I know I'm getting older. I'm getting up there. Some of you guys are like, yeah, right. But I'm getting older. But I do it because I believe in it. I believe in the impact that the young person can have. I believe in the impact that someone did with me, just what I'm talking about, when I was younger. I am only, I believe, in the position that I'm in because I had a youth pastor who was there to answer my questions, the tough questions. I had a mom who consistently prayed and taught me what it meant to pray. I had a dad who lived out what faith looked like, and he brought me along with him to church and gave me opportunities to pray. So, church, I want you to ask yourself this question just for a moment. Am I bringing anyone with me? Have I chosen someone else to pass along this life that God has given me, or am I just sitting by and waiting? Can everyone stand with me as we close? I'm going to tell one more story. I believe that God wants to use you. I do. And I believe that God is using me through Youth Alive and the mission that we're doing to empower another generation. We have students all across Ohio who are starting Bible clubs, who are just like the two testimonies I gave, are doing incredible things for Jesus. But I also want you to understand the urgency of, I believe, what we need to do. Not just across the world, but right here in Ohio. This was last year. We got home one day, and I had picked up my middle daughter, Riley, and my son, Peyton, from daycare. And my oldest daughter had gone to a friend's house. So her mom texted and said, hey, can we pick up Addison from school and come play? So, yes. So we get home, and my daughter, Riley, who was 2.5 at this time, got home, and she, where's Addison? Like, she's at a friend's house. We explained very clearly. So she's walking around. Where's Addison? She's at a friend's house. So my wife and I started cooking dinner. I don't know. We were making something that white people make. I think it was pork chops. I don't know. Right? So we're cooking. And we cooked these dinner. And all of a sudden, I looked at my wife. I was like, have you seen Riley? She's like, no. Have you? And I was like, no. So we start looking around the house. Riley, where are you? So we go upstairs to her room. She wasn't there. We go downstairs to the basement. She wasn't there. So we're kind of like, where could she be? She's a very small girl, so she could hide somewhere easily, but I don't know where she is. So then I'm like, oh, maybe she went to the backyard, which my kids play outside. So I was like, oh, let's go to the backyard. And so I look in the backyard, I'm like, Riley, not there. And then my level of concern began to rise a little bit, right? You know, kind of how you go when you lose something. You're like, I think I might have lost something. And you're like, oh no. And so then I walk around the house and I'm like, Riley, where are you? She wasn't there. So I'm starting to freak out. My wife's like, where is she? Like, what happened? I was like, I don't know. She was here. I don't see her anymore. We're asking each other questions. And then my urgency level goes up a little bit, right? I'm about to kick down my neighbor's door. Like, do you have my kid? Like, that type of, like, taken 24, like, type thing. So we're running around. We're yelling. We're in the backyard. We're like, Riley, where are you? Right, Riley. Riley. So I walk to, across the street to our friend's house, who my oldest daughter played there one time. And I look down. And there's a lady walking back with my daughter, Riley. And I'm like, I'm about to kick this lady in the face, right? No, she was helping Riley get back to her parents. What had happened was that Riley, you could probably guess, went to go find Addison. So she was just walking. She was crying. And so we had a nice, long conversation. Don't ever do that again, right? Like, you don't go outside without mommy and daddy. Well, I share this story is because I believe that the urgency of the church needs to expand. I believe that so many of us are walking around knowing that people around us are lost, but just kind of looking for them, right? Like, they're going to be okay. I think they're, you know, in the backyard. There's someone else. Well, God is calling us to say, no, the lost are lost. They are hurting. They are broken, and you have the answer in Jesus Christ. So I want a church that doesn't just walk around like, yeah, it'll be all right. They might come to church one day. No. I want you to have the passion and the urgency to say, no, I'm going to kick down doors. I'm going to ask anyone I know. I'm going to tell anyone I know about Jesus, because I know that the lost are lost and that they need Jesus. And I believe that God has given you an opportunity to make an impact in the world around you. So some of you guys in here, I understand. You might be thinking to yourself, well, two different categories. Let's say, hey, man, I just come here once every other week. I don't know if I can do all that. I'm not Pastor James. Like, I didn't go to Bible school. No, God wants to use you. God can use you if you seek after him, if you are obedient to him. He can have an impact in your life. The second thing, maybe some of you guys in here are like, man, Pastor Matt, that sounds great, but those days are long behind me. I'm retired. Maybe I got grandkids, but they're older. They're out. Maybe my kids are grown. No, find someone else. I believe that God, even in your younger years, just as much as I believe that God can use a middle schooler, I believe that God can use someone who's retired. God's not done with you yet. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants to use what he's brought you through to bring to someone else. I believe it in the name of Jesus that God has a plan for you. So everyone could bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray and close. I'm going to ask Pastor James to come back up, and he's going to close. But this is what we do with Youth Alive. I empower students. We equip them because the lost of the next generation are really, really lost. And I believe that the best people to reach those people are the students who are already in those schools. Because if I go to those schools, I'm going to get the cops called on me, right? I'm old. I'm out of date. I don't know these things. But we can work with young people. And we can empower them and we can equip them to say, no, God can use you right where you're at. But before we can do that, we must first ask ourselves the question, are we doing it ourselves? In our workplaces, with our kids or our grandkids, or maybe the people that we know, are you stepping out in faith and choosing other people? Are you showing them the word of God? Are you encouraging them? And then are you sending them out to choose others? Just for the next moment, I want you to take a little bit of a self-reflection and just pray and say, God, how's my heart? God, am I reaching out to other people? Am I coming and sitting and receiving, but not really sending out, not really pouring out to any other people? Because this is a question I have to ask myself all the time. If I'm asking other young people to do this, I better be doing it myself. All right, I believe in them, but I also believe in you. And I believe in the power of the body of Christ and the church to make a difference. So I believe today, as we pray, I want you to pray to yourself. I believe that not only is Bethel Parma, but the surrounding communities will grow, will change, will see a revival when all of us, as the body of Christ, decide to say, no, I'm going to choose other people. I'm going to walk in faith. I'm going to reach out to my neighbor, to my coworker, and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to let any differences between us stop me. I'm going to come. I'm going to bring them alongside. So let's pray. Pray along with me. Heavenly Father, I pray for every single person in this room today. I pray, Lord, you would just stir our hearts, God, for something. I pray even right now, God, as I've been preaching and your Holy Spirit has been speaking specific people on their hearts, God, maybe who they could reach out to, maybe who they need to bring along. And God, I pray for opportunities for this church, God, to reach out, to make a difference. Because I believe in your power of your Holy Spirit. I believe, Lord, that the next generation is looking for answers. I believe that the people around us who are hurting, who are broken, are looking for answers. And I pray, Lord, you would use us. God, as insignificant as we may feel, God, you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. So I pray, Lord, you would just open hearts and open doors in everything that we do. Lord, that you would just challenge us, you would encourage us to take that extra step, to go the extra mile, to invite people to things that we know that they need you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts as we go this morning. Lord, may you be with us. God, may you change our hearts. God, may you shift something inside of us today to be empowered by your Holy Spirit to say, enough is enough. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to reach out to where God has placed me to be. God, bless us as we go today. Give us opportunities. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, the hearts to be stirred, for lives to be changed, because of the decisions that are made here this morning. I press on your name. And everyone say, amen. Before I hand over to Pastor James, this is what we do with Youth Alive. I am a U.S. missionary, so I travel around with my family. And I'd love to connect with you. I have a table back there with some resources that you can take a look at about what we do and why we do and how we do it. But I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your prayers. Please pray with us. The school year, we're coming back. There's a lot of things that we're dealing with. Just pray that God would open doors, that he would provide opportunities for us to make an impact in the next generation and around the world. So thank you for this opportunity, Pastor James. You can come back up and close. But I'd love to connect with you as we close.
Amen. Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you, Pastor. What an encouraging message for every one of us. We have a lot of work to do, right? I've shared the numbers, you know, before. The statistics are true. If they're true, within 5 miles of this church, there's 100,000 people that need Jesus, you know, that need a relationship with Christ. And so we have a lot of work to do as the church to continue to go out and make disciples and fulfill the call that God has placed on our lives. Before we close today, we're going to pray over Pastor Matt. We're going to pray over his ministry, over his family. So why don't you just extend a hand towards Pastor Matt right now. Those that are around him, gather around him. And let's just pray God's anointing on him. Lord, just touch him right now. Lord, we thank you for what you've called him to do, Lord, to go and make and mold these students, Lord, to go and reach their campuses for Christ. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just anoint Pastor Matt. Lord, anoint his family right now. Lord, every need that they have, God, you know, a specific every need, Lord, that they are dealing with right now. And God, I pray over this family, God, that you would continue to touch them, encourage them, and help them. God, I pray a special anointing on him and on his ministry. Lord, we thank you for the calling you've placed on his life, Lord, to stand in the gap and to be able to do this where he is impacting the campuses all around this state. And God, I pray that it'll just continue to blossom, Lord, that more and more students will have this desire, Lord, to be used by you on their campuses. And God, that you would anoint Pastor Matt and his team and those that are around him, Lord, just to use these students, Lord, to do great things for you. God, I pray for everyone in our church right now, Lord. Lord, those that are watching online, God, there's so many people that need a relationship with you. And God, I pray your anointing on every one of us, Lord, that it's not just pastors that you anoint to go out and work for you, but God, it's every one of us, Lord, that you have called into this priesthood of believers, God, that you go out and do great things for you. And God, I pray that over our church family right now, Lord, that you would use us in a powerful way. God, continue to lay people on our hearts and on our minds, Lord, that need a relationship with you, and help us, Lord, to be obedient and bold, to be able to speak, Lord, your love into those relationships. God, we love you so much. Thank you for this time together today. And God, I pray that you'd go with us with your anointing, your strength, and your power. We love you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Thanks for being here today. Love you guys, and hope you have a great rest of the day. And hopefully we'll see you on Wednesday night as we gather together on our Wednesday night study. Love you guys. Have a blessed week.